A lot to get into here in the final couple segments for After Hours. And just a reminder, I'll be back tomorrow night for a five-hour Big Lugowski, a five-hour After Hours from 7 p.m. till midnight. The Mets are back in action. Their second half starts tomorrow in Philadelphia against the Phillies. And then this weekend, on tap, a very just enormous weekend here in the tri-state area. You have the Yankees hosting the Dodgers. That kicks off Friday night. You have the World Cup final that is on Sunday in what is an extremely intriguing matchup as Argentina is back in the finals. They have an opportunity to go back-to-back in the World Cup for the first time that a team has done that since 1962 in Brazil. They won in 58, they won in 62. So here we are all these years later. Argentina can be the first team since then, since 62 Brazil, having done it, to go back-to-back in the World Cup. You have Lionel Messi, the greatest of all time, a team in Argentina that Josh Hart compared to this Knick run, where, and he's right in the sense that during these knockout rounds, Argentina has been down in every single game, including against Egypt, where it looked like it was over. And yet Lionel Messi put the Superman cape on. Argentina found a way. They did it against Cape Verde as well. Argentina found a way against Switzerland. And then in the 85th minute against England today, they scored the equalizer to tie it at 1-1. And then about 5 or 6 minutes later, the game winner on a beautiful pass from Messi. Argentina punches their ticket to the final to take on Spain, who has been a wagon. They're not sexy, they're not flashy, but they are very strong, especially defensively. Spain has only given up one goal this entire World Cup, so it's really the irresistible force meets the immovable object. The way I cap it, the way I see it, is Spain is going to take a lead. They are going to be up 1-0 in the game. And then we're going to find out what is going to, yeah, like I said, irresistible force, immovable object. Is Spain going to continue doing what they've been doing throughout this World Cup, and that is have dominant defense where all they need to score is one or two goals and they win? Or is Argentina going to pull the rabbit out of the hat, and is it the Messi magic, the Argentina magic, and will Argentina score an equalizer and then ultimately win? Now, if this final is even halfway as good as the one we had 4 years ago in Qatar with Argentina and France, we here at MetLife Stadium, New York, New Jersey, tri-state area, and wherever you're watching at your homes, we're in for a very, very, very entertaining match, because 4 years ago was the greatest final in the history of the World Cup. And with the way that Argentina has been, these games have been unbelievable. So the drama, the comebacks, it's at everything. Now, if Spain takes that 1-0 lead, or 1-0 as they say in soccer, and they park the bus as they say in soccer, and they don't allow Argentina to get anything, it could be a little bit of a boring match. I will give that to you. Let's put it this way. If Spain wins, it might be boring. If Argentina wins, it's going to be exciting, because I don't think Argentina is going to take the lead, because they basically never do. And Spain, pound for pound, even though Argentina won the cup 4 years ago and they have the greatest of all time, Spain is the better team. They're the favorites going into it. They were one of, if not the favorite going into the tournament, right there with France. Argentina was like 9-1 going into this tournament. Now, I love them at that number, and I think they were disrespected because of the history. That's really what the number was. They were 9-1, not based on talent, that's for sure. They were 9-1 because a team hasn't gone back-to-back since 1962, so the history was not on Argentina's side. But they have been on a magic carpet ride just like the Knicks were, and that's why Josh Hart, and he got a lot of flack for it. I was reading some of the comments. People, but soccer people just, and I'm a huge World Cup fan. I wouldn't call myself a soccer fan, you know, day in, day out. We have a ton of them here at this radio station. I'm not one of them. I've been looking to adopt a Premier League team. I'm leaning towards Nottingham Forest, but I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't gone through the adoption process yet. But I do love the World Cup, and I'm very much into it, you know, every 4 years. But I felt like Argentina was being disrespected with that number because of the history. Meanwhile, they should have been right there as far as Spain and France and England, teams of that ilk, as far as winning it. And look, here we are, the finals, and Argentina is one of the last two teams standing. It's going to be a match and the wills of what's going to win out, the defense of Spain or the magic of Argentina. And that comes on the heels of a boring, awful All-Star game. If you're a Yankee fan, you loved it. If you're a fan of the American League, you loved it. If you're a fan of contact, you hated it. There was a million strikeouts. And it's amazing to me because the National League, and I don't think it's hyperbolic, I mean, it's based in fact, the National League has been the better league. they have the better records amongst their teams. They have won the heads-up matchups, National League versus American League. So it's not hyperbolic, but the bottom line is the American League dominates the All-Star game year in and year out over the last 20-something years. And this year was no different. Even though the National League is the better league, even though every metric shows you that they're the better league, when it came to this game, once again, the American League showed that they dominate and they win the All-Star game, and their pitching just completely mowed down the National League. Two RBIs for Bellinger, one for Rice. Bellinger gets the MVP, which is so... Look, Bellinger's going to have a really good second half, and he's got to exercise his demons in October, but Bellinger basically hasn't gotten a hit for the Yankees in five straight weeks, so it's amazing that he has that hit there in the first inning off Sanchez and ends up winning the MVP. Now, as far as Rice... Because I know a lot of my friends were like, oh, Ben Rice is going to win the home run derby because the metrics and the analytics. And I'm like, hold on a second. This is what I would say. And I love Ben Rice. I told you he was going to hit 40 home runs this year. I undershot that number. He's going to hit more than that, and he could win the MVP. Nerves, I think, would play a factor, not only for Ben, but his father. His father's pitching to him. And he wants to see his son do well, and there's always that human element of it. If it was a pitching machine throwing to Ben Rice, and I'm not putting the flame on the blame on the father, but I think there was nerves in both departments. And it's his first time in the competition for Ben Rice. So that's tough to win. Not impossible, because we saw that, because I think that was Walker's first tournament. And good for him, and good for the Philly fans getting some sports karma. I know a lot of people like the booing there, and you know me, I'm never going to side with the people of Philadelphia. You want to boo the other participants, that's fine. You want to boo Mr. and Mrs. Met, that's fine. But you got in the end what you've gotten a lot through the last year, the Philly sports fan, and that is disappointment, which is a shame. And where were the boos when you abandoned your basketball team? I didn't hear any boos game four when the Knicks were steamrolling your team. Oh, wait, that's because you sold your tickets and you weren't there. No. But I do believe in sports karma, and I think the Philly fan got that. And then their starting pitcher took the loss in the All-Star game. So I would say sports karma won, Philly sports fan zero. But now we have a couple of days here. The ESPYs are going on tonight. Not a huge ESPYs guy, I got to be honest with you. As far as award shows, the only one I ever really, two of them I watched. I watched the Oscars because I'm a huge movie fan. If you've listened to me for 5 minutes, you know how much I love movies. Now that I don't go to the movies as much as I used to, I don't watch the Oscars as much anymore. And then when I was younger, my teen years, MTV Music Awards, but that was just to see what Christina Aguilera and J-Lo were wearing. Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I didn't care if Jay-Z won Album of the Year. I was more interested, although the performances were good. I have to say that. But I don't even know if they still do it, to be honest with you. Half the time, I'm not even sure if MTV still exists. And if it does, it's not the MTV that I grew up on, that's for sure. It's not Celebrity Deathmatch. It's not TRL. It's not MTV Spring Break. I didn't have to go to sex ed. I would just watch MTV. I was like, I got all I need to know now. I've watched every music video. I've seen every show they have to offer. I'm good. I really don't need an education anymore because I just got one by turning on my television. And now I'm not sure if that even... I know MTV does exist, but I don't know what's on there. Well, it's music videos. Well, is it? I don't know. I have absolutely no idea what their programming is. Except for Jersey Shore. I know they're on there. But outside of that, I have no idea what they air. But I was a huge MTV fan back in the day. And like I said, it's building up to be a very big weekend. Javits Center, Fanatics Fest. Quick little thing before we get back to your calls here, and we'll talk more football as we get closer to midnight. Javits Center, Fanatics Fest. Third year that we here at WFAN are involved. We're very excited. We love the shows that we do there. It's a great event. If you've never been, it is awesome. If you are a sports fan, this is your heaven, your nirvana. So many athletes, so many activities, so many things to do there, interactive things, just awesome. You got to see it. I could sit here and describe it to you, but you go there, you just, interactive stuff, it's just awesome. The wrestling, the soccer, the baseball, the basketball, the meet and greets, the autograph sessions, and of course, WFAN will be broadcasting there. We will be broadcasting there starting tomorrow on Thursday, the Carton Show from 2 to 7, so Craig will be out there, Big Mac will be out there. Friday, it will be Sean, because Evan's out, Sean and Tiki, from 10 to 2, then 2 to 6:25, Yankee Pre, coming up at that time. You'll have Craig and Mac out there again for the Carton Show. And then on Saturday, you have a trio of solos shows on Saturday, starting with McMonagle, 10 to 1, myself, a little loogie in the light of day. I will be on from 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. And then Keith McPherson, who you will hear in about 45 minutes at midnight, he will be on Saturday. Keith will be 5 p.m. till Yankee Pre, which I think is right around 7:25 on Saturday. So you get three solo shows on Saturday and then a duo on Sunday morning, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Sean and Tiki will be out there for the second time in the four-day window of Javits Center Fanatics Fest. It's a great event. I can't say enough great things about it. It really is incredible. If you are a sports fan, it's just everything and anything you can think of is there. And you never know who you're going to rub elbows with. All of a sudden, you turn around and Tom Brady is walking past you. It's awesome. It's really, 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 really cool. And it's at the center, and you also got Saturday night's main event at the Garden on Saturday. So a very busy, busy sports weekend here in the tri-state area coming off of a slow sports weekend. So we kind of get shot out of a cannon starting with Friday here at Javits Center with Sean and Tiki at 10 o'clock. Oh, and obviously Craig and C-Mac tomorrow and the Mets tomorrow night. So really starting tomorrow. But Thursday, I know that's a weekend for some people. For me, it's not. I still work on Thursdays, but for a lot of you, it probably is. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to New Jersey. Nick joins us. What's up, Nick?
Hi, Tommy. Enjoy listening to the show. I had a quick ask you question. Mm-hmm. When you go to the game, what's your favorite food that you like to order?
Favorite food, ballpark, baseball game?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like there's two types of sports fans or two type of people that go to a ballpark. There are the Evan Roberts who go there to watch the game. Perhaps he'll bring a PBJ with the crust cut off, but he is there to watch the game, baseball game, and to write things down on a piece of paper. Like, this guy lined out the second base. I'm going to write that down, and then I'm going to watch what's going on. That's the one type of sports fan, and that's really extreme because not everybody scores the game, but you're there more for the game. And then there are the fans like Craig who go there to eat. I'm probably somewhere in the middle. Like, I eat out of necessity. I'm boring. I got to be honest with you. There are all these new crazy things you can get at a ballpark and this, that, and the other. First of all, I'm not the biggest ice cream in the helmet guy. I know. I'm just not. I'm just not a big ice cream guy at a sporting event. To me, ice cream, I'm on the boardwalk with, well, now it would be a wife, but at the time it could be a girlfriend or fiance. You're on a date. That makes sense. Have a little ice cream. It's romantic. Or just go to Carvel and hang out in the backyard, have a little flying saucer or a Carvelanche or something like that. I'm a big vanilla ice cream with Oreos crunched up and put in there. It could be from literally any establishment. That's really one of, and brownies. Love me some brownies. And chocolate chip cookies. I like a lot of desserts. That's sometimes why you get Fat Tommy in the winter, is because I'm eating dessert all the time. And then my head just gets huge. And then we have these videos here where they zoom in on the camera. I don't know why we can't zoom out on these cameras a little bit and get a little bit more of because they don't get any of my thin stuff. It's basically just my head. They don't get my thin legs, my chicken legs. That's why sometimes I'll throw on ladies' jeans, because I have thin legs. That's not caught on camera here. What all you see is my enormous head. But I got to cool off when it comes to desserts. I could get a sweet tooth and then I'm on and then I'm off to the races. Anywho, I'm very boring. I go chicken tenders and fries. It's boring. And I'm barbecue sauce. I'm not honey mustard guy. I know people like honey mustard. I'm spicy mustard, but I wouldn't do that with fries or chicken. I do that with a hot dog with the spicy mustard. I would go chicken tenders with the barbecue sauce or hot sauce. When I was growing up going to Shea Stadium, to me, the OG, the thing I loved, and you just... We have, and I get it, and like I've talked about this before, the Legends experience, the Legends seats at Yankee Stadium, to me is the best experience you could have at any stadium, ballpark here in New York. It is unbelievable. You feel like you're at a rich person's wedding. With the seafood, with the steaks, it's awesome. The candy wall, love it. There's no equal to it, in my opinion, anywhere else. And we have completely just opened up so many different new food things at ballparks and stadiums. But I'm kind of like, give me a hot dog, give me chicken tenders and fries. Back in the day at Shea Stadium, to me, the sausage and peppers, oh man, the smell, and it was just intoxicating. intoxicating. I could be very simple. Like, I don't need to be very basic. I don't need to go extravagant when I'm at the game. I understand why they do it, but for me, you can give me the basics, and I'd be a very happy camper. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours here on The Fan. Let's go to Paul in East Islip. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Good. What's happening?
I heard you say earlier that you were not looking for a team, that you were thinking about adopting Nottingham Forest.
Yes.
Not a great idea.
They suck?
I mean, hear me out.
They suck?
They kind of suck, but yeah. I'm going, you should jump on the bandwagon of Aston Villa. Hear me out. Starting goaltender for Argentina's Aston Villa. They had three players on England today.
Okay.
American owner, Wes Edens owns the team. He's the owner of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yep.
So it's got some American ties. Just qualified for Champions League, and they're going to have another great season. So don't shy away from Aston Villa. Nottingham Forest, not that great. Villa, I would go with Villa.
You know what other team I was looking for? What's the team with the Stadium of Lights? Is that Sutherland?
That I'm not 100%
There's
sure.
There's a team that does like a light show or something like that. I appreciate the call, Paul, because it feels like I'm at a rave. That's what Gallo and my soccer people were telling me. Yeah, I've been trying to adopt the Premier League team here forever now. I know we don't talk a lot of soccer here, and we're talking about it more because of the World Cup, but I promise you, especially the people that are like 30 and under that work at this radio station, they all love soccer. Tiki loves it, so it's huge. I understand that it's huge. And I'm not going to be the biggest soccer fan, but I want to adopt the team. But Nottingham, they suck. Oh, God, okay. But I don't want to be a bandwagon guy. I don't want to be a front runner and pick the Kansas City Chiefs or the Premier League. I don't mind starting out on the ground floor.
Be the bandwagon guy. It's okay.
You think? Because for soccer, I guess it's fine, right?
Yeah, you don't, you know, it's not like you're living and dying with it, so why not just win?
Forget living and dying with it, Ray. I don't even think I'm going to watch it. These matches are at 8 in the morning. I don't think I'm getting up at 8 or 9 in the morning. And aren't they on football Sundays? I'm not doing that. So it would really
all
be
the more, reason to be a bandwagon.
Correct. I'd be basically an executive producer. I'd be one of those guys that just, hey, how's that team doing? Great. And I'd maybe buy a jersey, and I would tweet about it. So not to be like a phony, but I got to be straight up with you. I'm not getting up. I don't even like when the NFL plays these games of cross season. They're on at 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to. I'd rather the game start at midnight. I'm not a big early morning person, never have been. Now, especially with these hours, and remember, no children. I do have a cat now, but he gets up early, but he is not very demanding, or at least he's not demanding of daddy. That's the problem we're running into at the household right now, is that mommy gets up early, and if mommy is working from home, daddy sleeps in, and the cat is very needy in the morning. And by morning, I mean basically 7 a.m. till when I wake up, which I'll be honest with you, can be around noon. That's 5 hours of a needy cat with mommy. So needless to say, when I wake up, mommy wants to go somewhere where the cat is not, and then wants daddy to hang out with the cat. And daddy doesn't really want to spend a ton of time with the cat. And then daddy has to remind mommy that the cat was mommy's idea, not daddy's idea. As much as I love the cat and I don't regret it, and I'm so happy we have him, but I need to remind mommy that it was mommy's idea to get the cat, not daddy's idea. So if you are somehow overwhelmed with the cat, deal with it. Hate to say that. Now, do I totally verbalize that? Probably not. But I subtly, I certainly think that. And perhaps I want her to read my mind. But yeah, I'm good for the late night stuff. But when soccer, these matches are on at 8 in the morning in Premier League, I don't know, 8 in the morning? No shot. So you're right, I probably should just be a bandwagon guy. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Joan in Manhattan. What's up, Joan?
Oh, hi, Tommy. I have a baseball question for you, but before I go to my baseball question,
absolutely.
I have to react to your reaction to Back to the Future. I find it very funny. You have no problem suspending disbelief, as they say, to believe that Marty McFly travels back in time 30 years by being in a car that goes at most, 200 miles an hour?
No, I don't think it's 200. I think it's like 87 miles an hour, but yeah, something like that.
Right, right. But you have no problem believing that, that he meets his mother, that she falls in love with him, that he arranges for his parents to get married. The only thing that bothers you is that they don't recognize him when they see him again.
Correct.
That's the only thing you find hard to believe.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes. That's where I have to not suspend my disbelief, and I have to say, I don't care if it's a movie. There's no way that his parents don't recognize him in that spot. And even if they looked at him and they said, couldn't be, and then they moved on, that would have satisfied me. But you're right. You're right. Okay. I believe in flying cars or cars that go back in time, but I can't figure out that plot sort of angle.
Right. Okay. So that was one thing. But I do want to ask about baseball. And yeah. I apologize to everybody out there who has known all the ins and outs of baseball for like 90 years that they've been fans. But I'm just starting to pay attention to it for the first time. And it's more complicated than I realized. So what I need for you to explain to me is, what is a sacrifice fly? Please explain what it is. Easy. Why
Happy
you get a
so.
Point for it? Well, why is it a sacrifice? What is it?
Yeah, you exactly? don't get a. You're sacrificing yourself, so to speak. You're sacrificing, now not always on purpose, but in a way you're sacrificing yourself so that another player could advance bases. Now, if you get an RBI, you do get an RBI. Now, as far as a point, you don't get a point, but it doesn't count as an out, so it doesn't hurt your average. And that's basically the idea behind that. Now, I'll get to this here as part of the fan focus. And let me remind you that this fan focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. I am prepared for this over the next, when's August 3rd? Like 2 weeks. I am very much prepared for this, that this is going to be a topic on this radio station. And I've already been tweeted something that has been put out there on social media, and I've been asked to comment on it. I'm not even going to look at the proposal. I'm not, because I'm going to shoot it down immediately. And what I'm talking about is the Mets are not trading Francisco Lindor to the Yankees. They're not. They're not trading Francisco Lindor, period, nor should they. I've been very clear about this. I will continue to be very adamant about this. I'm not trading Francisco Lindor. I chalk this year up to the unexplainable. Injuries, maybe something's going on. I don't know. I hate to speculate. Lord knows the internet has speculated on a daily basis. I don't care about podcasts. I don't care about wives. I don't care about the mayor. I don't care about a captaincy or a relationship. To me, that's all drama stuff. That's all Real Housewives in New Jersey. That's Vanderpump Rules. If I wanted to watch one of those shows, I would. This is baseball. This is the team I root for. I just chalk up this year to Francisco Lindor of, I can't explain it. But Francisco Lindor, throughout his career, has been a 30 home run guy, 90 RBIs, 30 stolen bases, great defense, great leader, clutch player, had so many big hits. And what I would tell my fellow Met fan is, you yearn for Pete Alonso, and I understand on some level why you do. Pete, that home run against Devin Williams got him to the divisional round. Yes. But then Francisco Lindor, the grand slam against the Phillies, got the Mets to the NLCS. So, but you're ready to just throw Francisco Lindor away? Based on hearsay? Based on rumors and innuendo and thoughts about, hey, maybe him and Juan Soto don't get along. Now, for the sake of the conversation, if that's the reality and they don't get along, well, then hire a manager that can come in here and fix that. I don't think that's like the craziest of thoughts. Now, you know, for me, it's Alex Cora. I think Alex Cora is very similar to John Harbaugh, a CEO, adult in the room, a guy who's won a championship. To me, you have to do what the Giants did to hire John Harbaugh, and that is court Alex Cora at the highest of levels. Cora obviously has a relationship with this franchise. And by the way, everybody wants to anoint Don Mattingly as he's the greatest, and he's look what he's doing with Philly. If Philly doesn't win the World Series, they're going to run him out of town, and the Phillies are going to want to hire Alex Cora. You want him going to Philadelphia? Get ready for this one, too, by the way. If the Yankees don't win the World Series, even if they get to the World Series and lose, within 5 minutes, we're going to take a phone call. The Yankees need to fire Aaron Boone and hire Alex Cora. You know that's coming. That might even come before the October. Alex Cora is a great manager. The Mets have an opening. To me, this is the perfect guy to bring in. 888-80, and I'm not trading Francisco Lindor, nor do I think the Mets are trading Francisco Lindor. And it's not even, oh, I wouldn't trade him to the Yankees. I'm not trading him, period. If the Yankees want a shortstop, go trade for Jeremy Peña, who has been on the IL a couple times this year, and maybe the Astros say, go scratch Brian Cashman. You want to besmirch us every 5 minutes. We're not going to trade with you, but let's just say they're not spiteful. Peña makes a lot of sense because high average doesn't strike out a lot. Hit like over 300 last year and struck out less than 100 times. Now, I'm a big Caballero guy. I'm not a big Volpe guy, but Peña at his best is better than both of those guys. For me, it's Caballero over Volpe, but if you want to upgrade the shortstop position for the Yankees, I'm totally fine with that. In addition to catcher, third base, and some relief pitching. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the late night. It is After Hours here on The Fan. Final segment here on After Hours, or final segment or two, final half hour, we'll call it, here on After Hours. Keith McPherson comes your way at midnight. Definitely the final segment. If I had to guess, I would say it's definitely the final segment here on After Hours. And then Keith McPherson will come your way at midnight. I'll get you with the 7 o'clock tomorrow. And then at Fanatics Fest on Saturday, a little loogie in the light of day, 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. following McMonagle, a solo show, and then I'll lead into Keith that day as well. Keith will be on 5 p.m. to 7:25 p.m. Saturday from Fanatics Fest. We're all looking very much forward to that. I got a sneak preview of the set that we will be broadcasting from. Very, very cool. I don't want to give it all away, but definitely different than the first 2 years. The first 2 years, it was more of a sports theme, our set. This year, I would say, is not a sports theme, but it is a New York City theme. That'll be my hint. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It was a massive night at the ESPYs for the Knicks. Massive. The Knicks won best team, best championship performance, male athlete of the year, and best NBA player. Those all went to Brunson. So best team, and then JB got best championship performance, male athlete of the year, and best NBA player. At least the ESPYs recognize that. I don't know about the people that talk on ESPN. They probably wouldn't have that opinion, but at least the ESPYs have that opinion. And then the best play, how could it not be? Because this is not only the best play of the year, this is the best play in years and is going to go down as one of the all-time great plays ever. And that, of course, is OG Anunoby's tipping. The dominance that the Knicks had at the ESPYs show you that not only were the Knicks the best team in the NBA, obviously winning the championship, but the Knicks were the best team in sports over the last year. Jalen Brunson is the face of the league. He's the best player in the sport. OG Anunoby's tip-in is an iconic play, not just in New York sports, but in sports history. And for the Knicks to just basically dominate at the ESPYs, just like they dominated in the NBA playoffs, tells you it's not just about basketball, it's just not about the NBA, it's across all the major sports. The Knicks, the 2026 Knicks, were not only the best team in the NBA, but they were the best team in sports over the last year. Jalen Brunson was the best athlete in sports over the last year. OG Anunoby had the best play in sports over the last year. And this team, this Knick team that won a championship, not only the best team in the NBA, but the best team in sports. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Mo joins us from Brooklyn. What's up, Mo?
What's up, Tom the Bomb?
Hey, what's happening?
Good. I already asked you this question, but I have two questions. Actually, three, but it's fast.
Three questions. Let's do them one by one. Start with the first one.
The first one I already asked you. I think your perspective probably changed. I asked you, who do you think is going to win first? Both baseball teams or both basketball teams?
Both baseball teams.
The Mets are never winning.
They have a long road ahead of them.
The Mets and Yankees.
Mets and Yankees will win before the Nets, yes.
Second of all, what do you say about the movie Housemaid with Sydney Sweeney in it?
I haven't seen that yet. I don't know if you brought this up to me before. I have not seen that movie yet. I wouldn't say it's on my list of things to do, but I think it got really good reviews, and I'm a sucker for great reviewed movies, so I haven't seen it yet, so I can't give you a proper review.
Okay, and the third thing, what was the thing that ESPN gave out about the Jalen Brunson best player?
Yeah, best championship performance, male athlete of the year, and best NBA player went to Jalen Brunson. And I said that. Look, to me, his performance in Game 5, JB's, one of the great performances really ever. It was very much Michael Jordan-esque when MJ in his last game with the Bulls, scored half the team's points. And that's essentially what Brunson did. And then you find out that he did it with a wrist that needed surgery. Iconic. And it just added to the legend of Jalen Brunson. And Brunson, you know, he's going to do his thing. He got his surgery. He's going to be at Saturday night's main event. He's going to be at the Mecca. He's going to be at Madison Square Garden on Saturday. So Jalen Brunson is going to be busy rehabbing. But I think Jalen Brunson is the hardest worker in the NBA. Because when you are, and it's just the reality. I think there's some Knicks fans when they hear this, like, oh, no, he's definitely, no, he's short, he's not athletic, and he's not a good defensive player. I mean, that's just reality. But the reason why he's so great is because he has a tremendous work ethic. I think he just takes everything that people say about him negatively and he uses it as fuel. And all the great ones do. All the great winners have. Jordan, Tiger, Brady, Jeter, etc. Those guys are great, and those guys are great winners because they work harder than everybody. And they use negativity as fuel to be great. And they don't settle with one championship. And I saw Brunson up there at that podium at the parade because I was lucky enough to be at City Hall. And I saw a guy that was barely even enjoying himself. I mean, you're within 10 feet of Alicia Keys and you're not into it. He wasn't. You're dancing a little bit. But he had the eye of the tiger there. And that's why I'm so confident that the Knicks are going to win another championship. I got him back to back. Now, maybe that's a little bit of positive Tommy coming through, but oh well. I certainly think they're going to win another championship with Brunson, though. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call if you want to just talk sports in general or do some Ask Tommy Anythings as we wrap up the show here. We got another 15 minutes before Keith comes your way at midnight. Let's head out to Jerry in West Point. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Tommy. How are you doing, Tommy? Tommy, listen, real quick, man. I very rarely call in, and I love you. You're awesome. I'm a diehard Nick. Giant, Met, and Ranger fan, diehard. Okay?
Wow, three out of the four have in common.
Yeah, I know. But listen, you're awesome. I go way back, Tommy. Like, last night, you went after your producer. You made a 20-minute conversation. I was laughing my ass off in my car.
Okay, good.
Awesome, I'm awesome.
Good. Thank you.
And the second thing is, too, man, when you said, hey, three people you would wish, to me, it would be Charlie Angels. That's probably before your time, dude. But look up Charlie's Angels. You'll know exactly
what I mean.
Oh, yeah,
no, listen. Obviously, I know the modern version of it with Drew Barrymore and Cameron Diaz, et cetera. But I know the original one, though, for sure.
You ain't kidding, Tommy. But listen, I want to tell you something, dude. I go way back to way before your time. You're awesome. Keep going. And I'm going to tell you something. I make a prediction right now, Tommy. Someday, you're going to be running drive time, kid. Good luck to you. And I love listening to you. Awesome job.
Well, Jerry, I appreciate that. Thank you. Now, when I yell it, and when I have these back and forths with Rosenberg, I'm always like, okay, we've kind of gone off the deep, because he got a phone call yesterday. I'll do a little inside baseball with you. I think it's fair, and it's not like anything that was said that was, I'm not going to give anyone's name, I'm not disclosing any information, but a caller called up while me and Rosenberg were having our back and forth, and it was a talk sports, and Paul, as a producer should do, he goes, okay, fine, yeah, we'll talk sports, I'll put you on right now, we've been talking sports the entire night. He goes, I want to talk sports. And Paul goes, well, what do you want to talk about? He goes, I want to talk about the Yankees. So Paul goes, well, what about the Yankees? He goes, I just want to talk Yankees. And then he basically told Paul where to stick it. And I thought that was funny. And I kind of wish that he got on the air because it would have been a funny back and forth. But whenever I have those segments, I'm like, all right, I hope the audience liked it. Because I don't know. I have no idea. I sit here and it's me and tonight it's Ray. Some nights it's Connor Green. Although I feel like Connor Green, I don't know where he is. If you've seen Connor Green, and you know he's okay, please report back to After Hours because I'm worried about him. I haven't seen him in months. Rosenberg just returned to the show. Nick Papagiorgio, Jack Carty, a.k.a. Bond villain Jack Carty. So we have a lot of producers here. Fliegelman, of course. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So when I'm yelling at Rosenberg, I just hope that it's fun and entertaining radio. Because if it is funny, I don't know because I don't see the audience. Like, I only see my producer. So this is one of those rare forms of entertainment where you don't have any kind of feedback, so to speak. I'm not a stand-up comedian where I can hear you laughing. I guess an actor would kind of be the same thing. But you do have people on the set that probably react to it. And some TV shows are filmed in front of a studio audience. So there is a reaction, even though I think there's an applause button they hit or a laughter button that they hit that tells everyone to laugh. But if something's funny, it's funny. But I appreciate that. Thank you for your feedback there. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Giants. I have giant expectations this year. I laid it out for you in the open. If you missed it, I'll repeat it here. When you have the marriage of Harbaugh and Jackson Dart, look, the Giants have found the two things in the NFL that you need to be successful. Head coach, quarterback. And I love the fact that Harbaugh did an interview this week where he said, we are going to utilize Jackson Dart the same way we utilize Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. And for me, that's music to my ears. I mean, Lamar Jackson, now he's had his playoff failures, but as far as a regular season quarterback, Lamar Jackson has been as good as anybody in his generation. Multiple time MVP, has won a million games, has been highly successful in the regular season. if they, the Giants, Harbaugh, utilize Dart the same way the Ravens utilized Lamar Jackson, Jackson Dart is going to be very, very, very successful in the NFL. And then when he gets to the playoffs, that's on Harbaugh, that's on Jackson, that's on a lot of different things. But you got to get there first. It's not easy to win in the NFL. It's not easy to get to the playoffs. It's not easy to win multiple MVPs. And I think a lot of people go, oh, Lamar Jackson, he doesn't get it done in the big spot. Well, yeah, but he's also won a bunch of MVPs and made the playoffs a million times, which a lot of people don't do. So it's not easy. I mean, Mahomes makes it look easy. It's not. To win championships, I'm saying. So the idea of neutering Jackson Dart, putting the training wheels on Jackson Dart, I was never a fan of. I thought the injuries and all that last year were way overblown, very hyperbolic. He only had one concussion. He was only in concussion protocol once, Jackson Dart was. And part of the excitement and part of the ability that he has is running. And for every Matthew Stafford, and I know Matthew Stafford won the MVP last year, and I know Sam Darnold won the Super Bowl, but the pocket quarterback is more of a dying breed. The dual threat quarterback is not only the present, but the future. And I don't want to take that away from Jackson Dart. I don't. Because I think that's what makes him him. And I want to hone that. And look, the Giants have spent this entire offseason with the idea of protecting Jackson Dart. You draft an offensive lineman in the top 10 to protect Jackson Dart. You create this power running game. You sign a fullback, the power eye, to protect Jackson Dart. You bring in all these skill position players, Mooney, Likely, Austin, Beckham, Smith-Schuster, Berrios. You do all of that to protect Jackson Dart, to give him people to throw the football to. So a lot of the focus on this offseason, the first offseason of John Harbaugh's tenure as Giant head coach, was done with the idea of protecting Jackson Dart. I don't think Harbaugh wants to put him in harm's way. And a lot of what happened last year with Jackson Dart, I think was you're a rookie, you're trying to make big plays, you came into a situation where Brian Daboll's job was on the line. Daboll was the one that really had a major hand in drafting you. I'm sure Jackson Dart felt a little bit of a need to go above and beyond, not only for the coaching staff, but also for the fan base. I'm sure he hears it all the time. Hey, we've sucked forever. You're our guy. You're our savior. So Jackson Dart probably took it upon himself to try to make plays or try to just be a warrior out there. And sometimes you got to live to fight another day. Start Dart. And I think he'll learn that once he becomes more seasoned in the NFL. And whether or not that is because of the help of John Harbaugh or just growing up and just being, I say growing up, but maturing in the NFL. And I think you're going to see that this year with Dart. And my expectations are through the roof with the Giants. They are. But I look at the Patriots last year. I look at the Bears last year. I look at the Jags last year. Those are three teams with new head coaches, young quarterbacks. Patriots made it to the Super Bowl. Bears made it to the divisional round. And the Jags made it to the playoffs. The Giants, to me, fit a similar script, a similar bill, and by no means should they not follow that same path that those three teams did. I'm not telling you necessarily Super Bowl, because the NFC is extremely tough, and that would be a major leap, a giant leap, to get to the Super Bowl. But I think playoffs are a very reasonable expectation, and that's where my expectations are. And if they're not met, and if they're not reached, assuming this team is healthy, I'll be upset about it. Because you've spent so much capital on this defense, it should be better. You bring in John Harbaugh, you have Jackson Dart in year two. It's time to start winning some games. Because I always thought it was about the coaching and not the personnel with this team. I could go through game by game, I won't bore you to death, but I can go by game last year and tell you which games would have been wins if they would have had Harbaugh as the coach and not Daboll, and then obviously an interim once he's gone. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Charlie in Setauket. What's up, Charlie?
What's up, Tommy? How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. So I'm a lot out of breath. I'm at the gym right now.
All good. You're pushing plates. I appreciate that.
Listen, I know you saw the finals. I listened to the Odyssey app after to see your reaction because I know you're a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
And after what I just heard you say, I had to call you up. How, after you see what he did, Brunson, in the finals, in all the playoffs,
yep.
How he's lefty, he goes, he's righty, he goes righty, he goes lefty, everything that he did, how do you call him unathletic?
I'm comparing him to like Anthony Edwards. He's obviously way more athletic than I am, but I'm comparing him to his peers. He's extremely skilled and he has amazing footwork and he obviously has an amazing shot. But I mean, as far as athleticism, playing above the rim, things of that nature, that's what I mean by that. Like his build, things of that nature. He's great. I think he's the best player in the league.
Right. His build, I think he's a little...
He's undersized.
In regards
yeah,
to
he's
that.
Undersized.
And because he's undersized, right.
Yeah.
But the skill that's required to do what he did...
Okay.
I
think it's semantics right now. Maybe it's apples to oranges. I don't know, but I feel like we're saying the same thing, but without... I know he's athletic. I'm just... maybe I just look at it as skilled. You look at it as athletic. We could probably just bring in somebody to sort of break the tie here, but...
Right,
I just
right.
think, like, when you compare him to some of the other players, when you think Jalen Brunson, for me, I don't think super athletic.
Well, I also wanted to say that, it was awesome listening to you, see your reaction, in the finals, listening to you all season. Big fan.
Thank you.
I appreciate you there, buddy.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you. Get back to your workout. I don't want to take you from that. 80s for the ladies, pushing plates, all good. I got to get back. Well, I haven't been in the gym in forever, but I've been running a lot more lately, which is good for you. I'm usually not a big fan of running. I'm only running if someone's chasing me because it's just running sucks, but it is good for you. It's healthy. It's a good way to lose weight in a healthy manner. So I've been running now for months, and this is the time of year. Even though it's like 90-something degrees outside and the air quality was bad today, and I hope it goes away quickly. Obviously, you hope for everybody's safety up in Canada, but all the... smoke from the fires has kind of made its way down to New York, and it was rough today, and I think it might be bad tomorrow too. So hopefully that clears up in Canada for everybody up there, and then the smoke subsides here. But it feels like once a year we get this from Canada, which I guess is kind of similar to California with the fires they have out there. So hopefully everybody's all right, and hopefully everybody's all right out here. If you're sensitive to that type of stuff, the air quality, then I would suggest staying inside. Plus, it's super hot anyway. So the weather today, this is one of the worst. It was super hot. It thunderstormed and the poor air quality. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Jay is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Jay?
Tommy, thank you for getting to me, pal. All right.
You got it.
First of all, I got a Norway response to you. That's just like funny.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name again? The other caller?
Ozzie and Woodridge.
Ozzy, okay. It was not. Ozzy took it like I was saying, I took it a bad way. This is hilarious. First of all, I want to mention just like the concept of sports radio talk to a Norwegian could not be more foreign.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're being referenced in this way, I'm going to be honest with you, they thought Ozzy was your co-host.
Tremendous.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to make this a soccer call now. I have the real response to that and what Ozzy said. But first of all, the call that I called you about trying to get you at Aston Villa because of an American owner.
Right.
Manchester United is owned by the Bucks owner.
Arsenal, well, which one does Tony Khan own? He owns a team in the Premier League.
Wait, who?
Tony Khan.
Tony Khan.
Shad Khan's son. He owns Tony Khan, AEW, Shad Khan, the Jaguars.
You should look that up. I don't know.
I forgot which team he owned. Let me look that up.
I'm not going to be on like... When somebody says you should root for this team because they have an American owner, if you go to the fans of that club...
Fulham, by the way, is the team.
They hate it. Yeah. They absolutely hate American owners. Even if they success because they use the team as a toy.
Gotcha.
And this is another point.
I gotcha.
He said, yeah, why not be an Aston Villa fan? Because you're not living or dying with... That's literally part of the reason why this sport will never advance in this country. Because he was saying, oh, I had a sauce. Which, again, this is all hilarious.
Ozzy had a sauce about the Norwegians in the bathroom.
Right. Yeah. That is just, this is a team that the last time they made the World Cup was 1998 and they flunked. Now they were playing Brazil and the game was tied for 80 minutes.
Yes.
This is something that Norway has really been pushing on because when you watch a Winter Olympics, who's going to win the skiing? Who's going to win all that? Norway. So how is a country that is in darkness 9 out of 12 years?
Right.
And they also had a club that went to the final 16 of the Champions League that is quite literally in the Arctic Circle that had the budget of the Tampa Bay Rays 20 years ago.
Right.
So what? This is just where I call it, it's BS, and because he's treating a Norwegian because of that peak like they're a teenager on spring break or a Knicks fan going through the euphoria.
I think, listen, Ozzy, he had a sauce. I think that's what it is. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, which is probably everybody because this was very vague in what Jay was saying, is that Ozzy, who calls all the time, he has a sauce, his best sauce, and that sauce told him that the Norwegian fans at MetLife in the bathroom were making whoopee, which is fine. I mean, some people go in there to take care of business, and some people go in there to take care of, well, business. So I'm cool either way, really. I don't care. I mean, to me, it's would I partake in that type of stuff in the bathroom? Probably not. But if you do it, I certainly wouldn't look down on you. All right, that'll do it for me. My thanks to Ray Jarvis. My thanks to all the callers. My thanks to all the listeners out there. Keith McPherson comes your way next. I will have you tomorrow night, another five-hour Big Lugowski, 7 p.m. till midnight. We'll talk to you then, right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.